celebrate Thanksgiving without knowing who to be thankful for. There are those that do not even have a clue that every good and every perfect gift comes down from above. God, our Father, with whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. And many do not have a clue of what God said to Israel in Deuteronomy 8:18, that He is the one who gives power to be able to get wealth. It's not our might, it's not our brain, it's not our energy, it's not how wise we are, it is God's provision. And therefore, He is worthy of our thanksgiving, and therefore we need to give that thanks to Him. Would you take your bulletin with me for just a second? You'll see we have a scripture printed in there on the inside left bottom. I'd like for us to read that out loud together. You'll notice that we put in verse 1 and 2, and then I have 8, 15, 21, 31. That's because the underlying portion is repeated again and again through that psalm. We're not going to repeat it that many times, but we do want to read all of it one time out loud together. So would you join me? Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. You have a question in your mind of what God would like? Well, the scripture tells us, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, for His wonderful works to the children of men. That is what we are privileged to do as we join our hearts here together today, is to worship and praise and give thanks unto Him. The title of the message this morning is Thanks Be to God. And in a moment, I'm going to, at the end of the service, I want to give you something to take home. So you cannot go home and say, the preacher didn't give me anything. I didn't get anything out of church today. You will. At the end of the service, I want to pass this on to you because I hope that it might help all of us to be more mindful of being willing to give thanks to God on a consistent, faithful basis. I was reading an article in the Decision magazine out of November, and a pastor by the name of Robert J. Morgan gave the message and used New Testament passages regarding thanks be to God. And the illustration is, you look under Roman numeral number 1, that he introduces his article with, I found very interesting. It says, 500-year-old Auckland Castle in northern England displays the original framing around the door between the butler's pantry and the dining room with the inscription, Estio Gratias. Thanks be to God. So that those in the dining room, whenever they would lift their eyes to look at the butler bringing in the meal, would also see that message, thanks be to God. So I want to give you this at the end of the service to take home, Estio Gratias, and I want you to put it in a conspicuous place. Now, for some of you, that conspicuous place would be under magnet on the refrigerator. For some of you, maybe it's between the kitchen and the dining room. Wherever you put it, I would ask that you would put it in a conspicuous place for two reasons. Number one, to remind you, thanks be to God. But number two, I would encourage you to have it in a conspicuous place that when somebody says, what's that? You'd be able to tell them why you are thankful to God and His many goodnesses to you. So I want you to have one of those at the end of the service, and we will build upon that thought as we move along. It's interesting that Scripture just is loaded with many, many different passages speaking of thanksgiving to God. Would you turn with me to that first one that's listed in Psalm 100, verses 1 through 5? A psalm of praise. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Let me pause for just a second. Griping doesn't come under the category of making a joyful noise unto the Lord. Murmuring does not come under making a joyful noise unto the Lord. Complaining does not come under the category of a joyful noise unto the Lord. A young man listened to his father give thanks for the food. No sooner had he finished that prayer of thanksgiving than he began to grumble about the meal that was placed before him. And the child said to his father, "Dad, does God hear our prayers?" And the father says, "Oh, yes, he hears all of our prayers." And so the son says, "So which do you think he heard? Your prayer or your complaint about the food?" You know what? Out of the mouths of babes, sometimes we get a good reminder. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with what? Thanksgiving. And into his courts with what? Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. I recognize that we read from the psalm in our responsive reading this morning, Psalm 103, but I still want to go and look once again to those first five verses. Psalm 103, verse 1, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles." Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. When? Once a year on the fourth Thursday in November? No. Daily. Turn with me next, if you would, to Psalm 136. And I want to ask you to join with me in this psalm, because there is a repetition, almost as an antiphonal type of singing back that could be involved, because each verse ends with a phrase, "For his mercy endureth forever." So I'm going to read the first part of the verse, and I'm going to ask you all to join together in the last part, repeating together, "For his mercy endures forever." Let's see how that works. "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good." Now you say, "For his mercy endureth forever." "Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods." "Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords." "To him who alone doeth great wonders. To him that by wisdom made the heavens. To him that stretcheth out the earth above the waters. To him that made great lights, for his mercy endureth. The sun to rule by day. The moon and the stars to rule by night. To him that smote Egypt in their firstborn. and brought out Israel from among them with a strong hand, with a stretched out arm. To him which divided the Red Sea into parts and made Israel to pass through the midst of it, but overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea. Now you guys are getting a little weaker. Pick it up just a little bit. Okay? To him which led his people through the wilderness. That's better. To him which smote great kings and slew famous kings. Zion, king of the Amorites, and Og, the king of Bashan, and gave their land for an heritage, even an heritage unto Israel his servant, who remembered us in our low estate, and hath redeemed us from our enemies, who giveth food to all flesh. Oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven, for his mercy endureth forever. A number of years ago, God led me to do something, and I'll just throw it out as a challenge to you. And that would be that you pick up where this leaves off, and you begin to write, as it were, testimonies of how God's mercy has been to you through your life. For example, for allowing me to be born in America, for his mercy endures forever. For the privilege of being born in a Christian home, for his mercy endures forever. For the privilege of coming to Christ at a young age, for his mercy endures forever. You pick it up and go from there, and you'll be amazed if you just spend some time thinking about it. All those evidences in your life, looking back, when God's mercy was so present in your life. And you'll have much to thank him for. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, it says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now notice it says in everything, not for everything. In the midst of everything, we can give thanks. Amen? We might struggle with being thankful for what it is that we're facing right now, but in it, when we recognize the character of God and that God has allowed whatever he's allowed in our life, ultimately for his glory, we can in everything give thanks. Because this is his will in Christ Jesus concerning every one of us. So let's come to the New Testament next, and turn with me, if you would, over to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 6. We're going to find here, in these following five major passages, the issue of est Deo gratia, thanks be to God. In Romans 6, verse 17 and 18, but God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. This passage, Romans chapter 6, is speaking about the awesome deliverance that we have when we come to faith in Jesus Christ, in which we have been liberated, received the deliverance from the bondage of the penalty of sin in our life. We're told in Galatians 5, verse 1, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Before a person comes to Christ, they are Satan's slave. That's what every one of us was before coming to faith in Jesus Christ. We were in bondage, and that bondage was ultimately a bondage unto death. The wages of sin is death. And we were under the rule, under the authority of the prince of darkness, we're told in Ephesians chapter 2. We were in bondage to that sin nature that was in the process of taking us to destruction. When we, by faith, come to trust in Jesus Christ, we have an amazing, amazing deliverance that is granted unto us, so that instead of being under the penalty of sin, which will be eternal separation from God, we are reminded in Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. Let me ask you, what does that look like? No condemnation. What does that look like? Absolute, total freedom. Now let me just develop this just a little bit for us. If there is absolutely no condemnation, if we are totally free from the penalty of sin, what if someone comes up and pokes a finger, as it were, in your face and says, I remember when you did such and such to me? It's covered by the blood. There's no condemnation. I've been forgiven. When Satan whispers in your ear, what about? You know what you need to say? There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. When there is that kind of thing that's thrown in your face, and sometimes well-meaningly it's thrown in your face, but it still is a dangerous thing when someone says to you, when you die, what are you going to say when you stand before the Lord? Friends, listen to me and hear me very clearly. When I die, I will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, and my works will be done, judged according to what I've done, but I will have no condemnation. Hallelujah! Because there's a multitude of things that would rightfully condemn me, but because Christ took all my sin upon him on the cross, and in his death, burial, and resurrection, granted me freedom from the penalty of sin, I'm free. And therefore, I'm not afraid to face death. Sometimes pastors do something. Recently, I heard a pastor doing this, and I kind of squirmed and was uneasy with this. And the pastor was saying, when you stand before the great white throne judgment, and he was talking to a body of believers, friends, believers will not be before the great white throne judgment. We will be at the Bema throne of judgment, and that's where the beloved of Christ, having been caught up in the rapture, whether alive when Christ comes or in the grave when Christ comes, will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And what? So shall we ever be with the Lord. And because of that promise, we will have the privilege of being with Christ at the marriage feast of the Lamb. Revelation chapter 19, verse 7 and 8. And in that revelation, seat of the Lamb, that marriage feast, it's going to be celebration, celebration, celebration. Why? Because thanks be to God, through Jesus Christ, there's no condemnation. Do you know that this morning? Have you claimed that by faith? Because that's what the Word says. And the world and the flesh and the devil comes against us and tries to beat us down about whatever that past element might be. Again, we look at that verse, and it says, but God be thanked, or thanks be to God, that though you were the servants of sin, now you are the servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thanks be to God. Secondly, Romans chapter 7. Look with me to verse 24 and 25. Romans 7 is Paul sharing a witness or a testimony about a reality that every one of us knows. And that is that following salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, as we begin to purpose to live a Christian life and walk with Him, we have a problem. The problem is that old sin nature. We Would you do me a favor right now, in case anybody's confused? Would you just tap somebody near you and say, you do have an old sin nature? And you know what? It is real. And what does Paul say about his old sin nature? Well, look with me. Verse 24, 7. Oh, wretched man that I am. That's our old sin nature. That's what still is possible to come forward in us and show its ugly face. And we're continually exposed to the junk that's in the world. And we're reminded of some old habits and attitudes that we've had before that all of a sudden, though we thought we had put it to death, there it is again. We said, I'll never do it, and now we're doing it again. We all can identify with him. Oh, wretched man that I am, who is going to free me from that old sin nature? I've shared this with you before, and it's one of the most unbecoming scenes. But it's a scene that was used in the past. And that was that when a person was guilty of murder, they took the body of the one that had been killed and they tied it around the person to carry that dead body as it rotted away. Can you imagine? Oh, wretched man that I am, who can free me? Who can release me? Who can cut me free from that? And then what does the next verse say? Thanks be to God who gives me the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. What a promise that is. I thank God through Christ Jesus our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. But friends, we don't have to live underneath that bondage. We can say, es Deo gratia, thanks be to God that there is deliverance. I don't have to live under that old junk. I'm free from the penalty, and I'm free from that old nature having control. I can say no to sin and mean it. Satan, get thee behind me. I don't have to yield to it. Turn with me next, if you would, to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15 is about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The first part announces the reality of the resurrection. The second part of it begins to say, but there's some of you that say, what if there is no resurrection? And Paul then proceeds by the Spirit of God to move on and declare there is resurrection. There is victory. And I ask you to look with me to verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Again, that's an absolute statement. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Friends, you will not take the body you are in to heaven. How many know that this morning? How many are thankful for that this morning? Okay? Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. We can't march into the presence of God. There's nothing we can do to make that possible. And if you look with me to verse 55, you see it even more clearly defined. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. The law condemns every one of us in the room. If you could keep the whole law but break it in one point, what does the word say? You're guilty of it all. You're guilty of it all. What does verse 57 say? But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. What is awesome about this, and look there to your scripture for just a second again, in verse 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when that happens, verse 54, this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying which is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Friends, thanks be to God that death doesn't have the last word. We pray for people who have cancer and other illness. We pray for people that are lingering on the borderline between this world and the world to come. We wrestle perhaps even along the way. Well, what will it be like when death comes? One comedian is supposedly recorded as saying, "I don't fear death. I just don't want to be there when it happens." Well, you'll be there just before it happens. But friends, listen to me. The good news is heaven is about a glorified body. Not this body, a glorified body. This mortal will put on immortality. This corruptible will put on incorruption, changed, having a glorified body. And Scripture says our body will be like that of Christ. That glorified body is beyond our imagination how awesome it's going to be. Jesus walked through the door and surprised his disciples on that first night. Do you remember that? And again, a week later, he surprised them in that way. He was there with them for a time there at the Mount of Olives. And then while he talked with them, all of a sudden he rose up and he was gone. Friends, we're going to have a body like the body of Christ, a glorified body. He ate with his disciples because they thought he was a ghost. He said, "You have something here to eat?" And he took it, and it didn't go clunk. Okay? It's not a ghostly body. It's a glorified body. And you know what that glorified body is going to be for? How it's designed by God? So that we can praise and worship and glorify him forever. How many can look forward to that this morning? Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:8 says, to be absent from the body, present with the Lord. That's victory. That's victory. Thanks be to God who giveth the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Go with me next, if you would, to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other we are the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. What is he saying? That God always causes us to triumph in Christ and makes manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. What does that mean? Does that mean that every place that Paul went and every place that Paul preached, everybody got saved? No. That's not what happened. What it means that God always causes us to triumph. And hear me clearly in this. Friends, when you are sensitive to the Spirit of God, you feel his prompting to speak the word to someone else. That means God is saying, do it. God is not saying that's a guarantee that they're going to receive it, but it's a guarantee that now's the time you need to say it. However they receive it, this scripture describes, for those who reject it and reject you, you are a savor of death unto them. What's that mean? That means that what you have said in truth is to them death, because in their sin, they are still under the penalty and judgment and ultimate condemnation of death. But to those who will receive it by faith, you are the savor of life unto life, because they hear it, they receive it, they believe, and immediately they have eternal life. And we are privileged to be a part of that. Ours is not about, are we guaranteed that they will always respond? We are guaranteed that if we're obedient to God, we always give him glory. Turn with me, if you would, to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, verse 32. Paul was there at Mars Hill. He had been to the Areopagus. He had preached unto these people, and listen to the response after he had presented very, very clearly the gospel before these pagans. Verse 32, and when they heard the resurrection of the dead, some what? Some mocked. Others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. Talk to me about it later. So Paul departed from among them. Howbeit, certain men clave unto him. In other words, they wouldn't leave him. They wouldn't depart from him. And they did what? They believed, among which are Dionysius, the Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with them. God always causes us to triumph through Christ Jesus. So when you fear witnessing, when you fear failure, what you need to be doing is you need to be thinking in your mind and in your spirit, thanks be to God that he's going to cause this to triumph in Christ Jesus. And however that person receives it, that's between them and God. But your obedience to God is going to be glorious when we are willing and faithful to be obedient to what he calls us to do. One more. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Friends, who is that unspeakable gift? The Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, brother, for that song you sang. Right on for our message today. The name of Jesus. Friends, listen to me. God says it in his word, Acts 4:12. There is no other name given among men under heaven whereby you may be saved, save the name of Jesus. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. When it's saying unspeakable, it's simply saying there is no way that you can list all the benefits and blessings that come from the gift of God in Christ Jesus unto us for salvation. We sang the song, count your what? Many blessings. Name them what? One by one. Try it. As long as it takes. You know what? Somebody's saying, man, I just can't imagine in heaven that we're just going to be there thanking God forever. Well, you're going to find a long enough list, as it were, before you, revealing all the ways God's mercy endured to you forever. Sit down and begin to write out all the things for which you can say, es de gracia, thanks be to God. And if you have trouble with that, let me suggest something else. You can go at it from the other direction. Begin to make a list of what if Christ had never come. What if you didn't know Christ as your Savior? If you didn't know Christ as your Savior, the result would be you would still be under the penalty of your sin. You would still be, oh wretched man. You would still be under the condemnation of death, corruption. And hell would be your eternal home. And instead of being a savor of life unto life, you would just be the savor or the stench of death. But thanks be to God. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, that's not where anybody has to stay. The call and the invitation that Jesus offers is whosoever will come. The last invitation of the scripture, whosoever will come, drink of the water of life freely. What an invitation. What an invitation. Let me ask you a question. What if Christ had never come, what would this world be like? Would you want to live in it? We think it's bad now. Think what it'd be like if Christ had never come. Let me say it one other way. Think what this world is going to be like when the church is gone. The Antichrist is ruling, and God's judgment is going to be on this land. This morning, let me ask you a question. Do you have anything to be thankful for? Thanks be to God for the unspeakable gift, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if there's anybody in here that does not know that unspeakable gift personally, then today you need to receive by faith that unspeakable gift, and you will never regret it. Instead, you begin to know what life and life more abundant is all about. And friends, listen to me. As we count our many blessings and name them one by one, it is far, far, far beyond food and housing and transportation. It's beyond the physical stuff. It's into that which is eternal that we need to most be focusing on and giving thanks for. Yes, God is good. Yes, God has blessed us in abundance with all the things that we have. But the spiritual gifts far outweigh any and all of that. Because you know what the Bible says? We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain, what? We're not going to take anything away. We'll leave it all behind. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we stand amazed. Lord, we owe you an unending debt of gratitude, thanksgiving, and worship for all the ways in which you have blessed us through Christ Jesus. As we say thanks be to God, we recognize that it is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. Jesus said, I will pray the Father, and the Father will send the Comforter who will be with you and who he will be in you. Thanks be to God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit for making it possible that we might have an eternal spiritual life, a life of victory. Lord, we give you praise and thanksgiving. And Lord, this week, just continue to remind us, es Deo gratia. Thanks be to God. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Take your hymnals, please, and turn to hymn number